At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend about CarCast. We love you. We love the cars, right, Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea?
Heck yeah.
We are, as you hear this, we are in Road Atlanta. We're doing the MIDI. MIDI's an exciting, big vintage event. Probably the second or third biggest one out here in North America. So we'll be excited about getting out there, running that track, and bringing the 610 out there in the Roadster. And so if you're listening to this and you're out that way, and then you come by and say hi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It should be fun. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning?
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
I was trying to find something about my run group. They never really post things, but you can go and look in last year's run groups or whatever.
Yeah.
There are 56 cars in my run group last time. I think they basically just threw a lot of different cars in that run group. Now,
well, the cars are little.
I don't know what they're doing this year. Max Patty, you can look up run group three, whatever. It's always kind of weird because they'll go schedule and this, that, and the other, but there's nothing on the website where you can find. You can find when the run groups go off, but you can't find who's in the run group or what's, meaning like what cars are in the run group.
Yeah, like who registered, how many people are going to be in it. Obviously, maybe somebody doesn't show up or something, so you give or take one, but it'd be nice to be like, hey, here's a kind of a list.
But you want to know if you're running with 510s and naturally aspirated 911s. And some Lotuses, or are you running up with Jags and like 944s and stuff like that? So
there's racer track confidentiality.
I was looking at it last year, and they just had all these crazy cars all just dumped in with the 510s and everything else, which then meant we would be on the slower side of that equation.
Are you 3A or 3B? Do you know?
Ooh. I didn't even get the A and the B. Now you got to find out.
Okay.
That's a good question, Chris. Find out.
3A, probably. Well, you tell me what's in 3A and what's in 3B. And then it started to dawn on me that, well, this is a Nissan sponsored. You know, Nissan's kind of the mark.
Yeah.
So what they do, if it's Ferrari's the mark or Corvette's what the mark or the brand or whatever their model, they'll have like an all Corvette race or an all Ferrari
right.
race.
Or they'll, like you said, they'll allow some of the extra cars to go in different classes and kind of skirt the class so they can get all these cars out there. And, you know, if there's 50 cars in one group and 39 in the other, then maybe they can find a way to get a couple cars to kind of equal it out. There's like a little bit
this
of...
This is going against my groundlings training, but no. Or what are you talking about? They'd go. Well, if Ferrari's the mark, they'd have that all Ferrari race is
right,
what I'm saying.
But the featured mark wants to get as many of their branded cars out there.
Well, so, they do want to get as many, but they're not going to have more than 55.
No, but it's not going to just be all of their cars. Like you're saying, yeah, there's an all Ferrari race at a Ferrari marked event, but there's other people as well. So where do you?
No, there's an all Ferrari race, and then there are other races.
Okay, you're making it sound like there's no Ferraris in the other races.
Oh, that's a good point. There'll be an all Ferrari race that's in like, you know, this group to that group, and then the other ones will be if you have a Ferrari. Trying to think of how they did. Like, if you have a Ferrari from the 50s or something, it will run in the other group.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
But they will still have, like, an all-Ferrari race from 1962 to 1967, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it would seem that Nissan would have, like, an all-B sedan. You know, they're kind of sweet. What mark is, like, 240Z, 510, you know, that that group. You'd think there'd be like an all B sedan Ferrari, Datsun. Yeah. I wish it was Ferrari, race. But yeah, you're right.
And I don't know if in Monterey they're doing that either. I don't know if they're going to have like an all Datsun or Nissan race because the discussions we've had with them so far, and I know they're just planning it, but you know, Nissan is the featured market in Monterey as well, and they're getting as many cars out there as possible.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know if they're going to have like an all.
Yeah. I've seen it with Corvettes. I've seen it with certain years Ferrari. But anyway, what's the A and the B?
So 3A is vintage historic production, et cetera. Actually, both 3A and 3B are, but 3A is, excuse my, if I'm saying this wrong, but HP6 through HP8, S4, HPC, MP3. And then 3B is...
I don't know what any of that
is. I don't know what any of those are.
MP3 is a file, right?
Yeah, I know. That's like the only one I knew.
HP6 is an oil. I think we've run that. It's the driven.
Yeah.
One. Yeah, they're all just codes. Like, I don't know. Then group 3B is HP5.
Do they have any of the cars that are in the groups?
No.
This is the
schedule you have to download, but on the website, they just have Group 3, Vintage Historic Production category, and then production cars from the middle 60s.
Are Group A and Group B running? What are their times?
They're all back-to-back. So 3A, like on Friday, qualifying, 3A is at 8 a.m., and 3B is at 8:25. And
all right, so now we need to figure out which one we're in.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be that goddamn 8 a.m. one.
Of course.
Yeah, too early for us. All right.
Whichever one it is, we're going to – I don't want to jinx it, but it's always like, I thought you said it was the 820 group, and it's the 8 group. And
We shall try to figure it out.
I thought it was the 820, and then you're like, well, you're late.
We shall try to figure it out. All right, so
8 a.m.
Yeah, 8 a.m., early Friday, early Saturday. Yeah. Now here's how I normally roll. Normally, the way I roll is, screw that 8 a.m. run.
Yeah.
Because we're at Laguna Seca. I know the track well. I know the car well. And we'll just show up for the 11:30 one. We'll get a little sleep. A little coffee in us.
No, I got you, because the 8 a.m. run is actually 5 a.m. for us.
Right. But I've never driven on this track, so I might like to not get up that early, but I would take that 8 a.m. practice time and literally just putt around that track.
Yeah, just learn to corner. Just learn just elevations. Figure out what's going on.
Find out what's going on. Have a bunch of guys buzzing past me the whole time and me pointing right and left and just kind of literally
playing
possum. Go around that track a few times. And then by 11:30 run or whatever the next one is, you could start to pick it up a little bit. Now, I'd be fine with, you know, we're going to get in late Thursday night. Yeah. Then it's going to be an early call and all that. And I'd be fine with sleeping in and just making the 11:30 one, but then that learning curve would just get pushed to that one. We can still toggle with that idea. It'd be nice if it was the 8:25 one.
It doesn't say anywhere on the internet which one you're on. I don't know, maybe.
So when we said come out to the track and say hi to us, we probably meant midday, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
It should have that stuff. Maxipad, it's got to be posted somewhere at some time, right? I mean, some point you're going to need a sheet with the cars on it.
Maybe at that driver's meeting. When's that?
No, that thing's not till like noon.
So yeah, that's what I thought too. So I was looking at that going, maybe the driver's meeting's at after some practices.
If Max Pata.
Yes?
If you tell Matt Fondelier to shoot Dave Stone an email and ask him where we can find the run groups, or if we're in run group A or run group B, or what he knows, he's pretty good at figuring that stuff out.
Okay.
Seems to be on top of things. Good guy.
I like that guy.
All right. So we're at the Porsche event.
Yeah.
What's that thing called?
Luftgekühlt.
Luftgekühlt. Luftgekühlt. And that's the air-powered event.
Air-cooled.
Powered by air.
Sure. And, air's involved for sure.
We found your group. Kaylin found it online there.
8 o'clock.
Good job,
Kaylin. It's not good. No. Yeah, it's 3A.
I knew it. Who's in that group? How many cars are in that group?
Just you.
Ooh, there are a lot. I got to count them all.
Okay. What are the cars? This is my funnest part when Chris Maxipata or Matt Fondelier.
Well, we're both here. Let's.
Has to go. It's a Lotus. 26 er.
They're not retarded.
No.
They can read.
This is off the top of my head. You got a 68 Datsun SRL 311, 1948 cc, 1970 Datsun 510.
Yep.
74 Opel Kadett, BMW 2002, mm-hmm. Datsun 240Z, mm-hmm. Porsche 911S.
Datsun. What year? Does it say what year?
That was 69.
All right, good.
71 Datsun 510, 89 Nissan D21 hardbody.
89? Hold on. 89?
Nissan? I like the hardbody part.
Yeah.
D21 hardbody. Interesting. 2400cc.
Can't say I'm familiar with that.
Should be out front if he's driving an 89. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a emissions
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll be the only one in the 80s. 73 Datsun 510, a 73 Datsun 610, that's you, Adam, 71 Datsun 240Z, 70 Datsun 240Z, 71 Datsun 240Z. There's probably like another 40 cars. You want to keep going?
No.
Okay.
So that's it. What is in the B group, just in case I can get pissed off about this?
All right, you got a 75 VW Rabbit. Uh-huh. 73 Porsche 911 S, 70 Porsche 914, 64 Lotus 23B, 97 Toyota WSR, 95 right. Toyota. Yeah.
That's a weird group.
That's a weird group.
I don't like that group.
But I still like it because it starts 25 minutes later.
I was going to say, see if that group will start at 8. Yeah, email everyone on that
throw my
list.
Weight around. So I'm sort of right. We're going to have a whole bunch of Datsuns in my race. And the guys with the Z cars probably should be a little quicker and up front because they still have some good horsepower. Those guys, some of those straight sixes.
Don't give it away yet.
Some of those straight sixes are making pretty good. I'm curious for that 89 hard. I'm
into
the 89.
What's an 89 hard body? What is that?
Yeah, that's an interesting. We'll look that one up. Feels tube framey to me.
Yeah.
All right. So Claudio Burton. Now, who's Claudio Burton? Claudio is the guy who runs the team who owns the Trans Am cars, one of which I drove at Willow Springs about a year ago. And it was Claudio who coached me and helped me and was talking into the microphone, into the speakers, into the radio system and telling me what to do out
Very
on the
calm.
Track and all that kind of stuff. A calming presence. He's now out here doing the race, doing Fontana coming up. I'll tell you first about Butcher Box. They deliver healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage-bred pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. Guess who had this steak last night?
I was going to say, if I get pork delivered to my door.
Me and Sonny had this last night for dinner. And let me tell you what I'm in love with.
Who cooked it?
I had the chicken.
Yeah.
Lynette made the chicken on Sunday night.
Okay.
The chicken was great. I had the beef. And the one I'm looking forward to, start thawing it tonight, Heritage Breed Pork.
Yeah.
And people say, what is the heritage breed? And I asked the guys at Butcher Box, I said, what is that? And they said, you know how pork got really white and really dry and really unflavorful? And I was like, yeah, because when I was a kid, I didn't eat pork chops in my house because they were enjoyable and they cost money and all the things we couldn't do. Yeah. But like Chris Bohm's mom would make pork chops. I go to her house and eat pork chops. It's the greatest thing ever. It was a pork chop. Had fat on it. It was marbled.
Yeah.
It's flavored. He said, well, then they turned it into the other white meat.
That's right.
They tried to go against chicken back in the 80s and 90s when fat was a bad thing. They bred out all the
everywhere.
They bred out all the fat. And then it got dry and crappy. And I'm like, you're right. I don't like pork anymore. What happened to pork? Heritage breed pork. Heritage bred pork.
Yeah.
That's the old school pork that you remember.
The good stuff.
The good stuff. All right. Anyway, everything's humanely raised. You're never given antibiotics or hormones. Stuff is unbelievable. They have an offer. $10 off and free bacon by going to butcherbox.com using the discount code Adam, plus free shipping anywhere in the 48 states. No commitment. Cancel anytime. Just great stuff. Healthy stuff. You taste the difference. It's the best.
Free bacon is always a good idea.
And free bacon
it's is always
never
a good
bad
idea.
So we went to the Porsche event down at a huge lumber yard on the west side on Sunday. That was pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I posted some pictures and people were like, are you at a Porsche show at a Home Depot? I was like, no, we're at the most amazing lumber yard I've ever seen. That place was badass and it smells good.
Pardon the pun, man. I had a lot of wood going on there because there was wood. The cars were displayed. Everything looks,
I thought your head was going to explode.
Everything's exciting. I still, you know, there's a lot to look at.
But it was the combination of construction and cars in one place.
Did we see any official singers out there?
I don't remember seeing any singer cars out there.
Not official.
No.
And then there was a couple of 935s, but they were the full like tube frame 935s, and to me they miss a little the essence of the non tube frame 935s. But it was good stuff. We talked to a lot of guys, and you know, look, go out and frequent these things. There's stuff popping up more and more often, and they're in your neighborhood, and take your kid, take your buddy, and go have a beer and check it out.
I posted a bunch of photos on my Instagram, All That Motorator. You can find it and scroll through a handful of them, and you'll see them. They're all over my social media.
All right. Why don't you give a little love to one of your sponsors? We'll bring Claudio in here, and we'll talk all about racing with Claudio Burton. I also saw Claudio when me and Dennis Prager were out in Atlanta a few months back.
Well, we're getting ready for racing, so let's talk about Castrol Edge, designed for consumers who demand the best performance from their cars. The tech advances have made engines smaller, more powerful, and efficient. So engines today produce pressure up to 10 tons per square centimeter. It seems like a lot.
Yeah.
The only thing stopping metal-to-metal contact is a thin layer of oil. So the oil needs to be strong and remain strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic.
All right. Claudio Burton, our old friend Claudio, is here. He's from Burton Racing. He's a team owner. He's a team driver. Competed in 7 consecutive Daytona 24-hour events. He's been driving Trans Am. He debuted in his Trans Am series in 1993. He's been there. He's done that. And his company, one of his companies, is GoShare Co. And you can check out whatever you need to know at burtonracing.com. Oh, pull the mic right up toward you there, Claudio, or tilt it down or whatever. Good to see you.
I think I got it.
We got it. Good to see you again.
It's good seeing you. Great to be back.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're going literally to your home state the day you're coming out to our home state.
Yeah, we're trading coasts there.
Yeah, who planned that one? Jeez.
I don't know who sets these schedules.
So Road Atlanta must be your home track, right?
Yep, it sure is.
What do you need? What do I need to know about Road Atlanta?
You just got to be real careful going down the hill. Just drive that about 90% before you take the flag there on the front straight.
So there's that going down the hill, that big sweep and right turn.
That's that big sweeper, yep, coming down you know, it's a very fast corner. And anytime you're going down the hill, people don't realize, you know, that gravity is kind of working against you, kind of loosening the car up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, you know, the weight's on the front end and it just, you know, it's a balance. Then you go uphill in turn one and, you know, you're climbing the hill. So all the weight goes to the back and the car wants to kind of push. So
right,
just you, down the hill, you got to be careful. It's the spot usually that, you know, can catch you out.
And other than that, it seems pretty straightforward. It seems like a lot of elevation change in that track from the bottom of the hill to sort of the back part of the track where it's way up there.
Yeah, it's all built on a hill. So, yeah, you know, you're going up and down hills and you don't realize it till you kind of, you know, drive out there in the streetcar or walk around it how the elevation is changing.
Yeah.
And even some banking you have on a turn six, you know, it's deceivingly faster because of the banking that's in that corner.
I don't recall how far is the track.
It's I was told it was 2.54 miles out. So it's the same as I think it's about the same as Willow Springs, which is about 2.5.
Yeah, right at 2.5. Yeah, right at 2.5.
And about the same kind of speeds. I mean, seems like a fast track.
Gearing is just about the same. Yeah. So the top speeds. All right. The only difference, you know, you get a little slower hairpin there in the back, turn seven.
At Willow, you're talking about?
At Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta.
So you're actually, you know, it's kind of in between, but you can run first gear in the back, where at Willow, you're really, you know, second to fifth. And
yeah.
So you guys are getting ready to run at Fontana. Fontana does the straight, does the bank, and then puts you out down onto the
Combination of the oval and infield for your race.
Referred to as the Rovals. So,
how long is that track? Somebody should tell me. I'd be curious because I've driven there quite a bit. It's fun.
But there's so many configurations. You'd have to find.
No, I don't. I don't think there are that many. I think this part will be the same. Although I don't know. You can look it up. You go down the straight. You go around the bank. You come off the bank. And then you have to get down real fast because it's a good sharp left followed by a right, and you're really going from pretty much flat out to I got to get way down in speed to hit this corner. You're taking the Vet, or what are we driving?
The Camaro.
No,
Camaro.
Yeah, we've gone to the Camaro for 2018, so we've got two Camaros now.
And Tommy Dreese's driving.
Yep, we got Tommy Hollywood Drissy driving the car this weekend.
I saw him in Long Beach. He was running vintage Trans Am, and for the life of me, I don't know what happened there because he was racing Trans Am, and they kept saying he's on the pole, he's on the podium, he's going to get third. And then when they showed everybody standing up there popping champagne, he wasn't up there.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to talk to him exactly on that. What
but
happened?
You don't know it, Tommy. He could have just not shown up. Yeah. He could have been black flagged for something, or maybe he pushed somebody off the podium, or
punched somebody off the podium.
He could have punched somebody off the podium.
I got to tell you, driving in that Corvette, your Corvette, in a real Trans Am race was really just a thrill of a lifetime for me.
They're unique cars, you know. It's without any of the driver aids and that kind of stuff. They really are a showcase driving, and you did a great job, you know. A little bit of cold tires on one lap, I think, kind of humbled you a little bit what these things can do. But
that never comes up on the show.
they're very responsive engines.
Yeah,
they really. You give them a little blip on the throttle, and it's right up on the pipe, like fast.
Yeah, they're real, you know, aspirated engine like we have, and they're high compression. They're, you know, these things are like close to 14 to 1, or you know, so very, very responsive.
Well, if you're getting, as somebody said, about 850 horsepower out of these engines, I don't know what the displacement is.
The rules allow us to go to 366, so we actually run crazy crankshaft.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us just an itty bit more stroke than a NASCAR 358 engine to use those last 7-8 cubes that were allowed.
Right. So you got a small block at 366. You have no turbo, no supercharger, but you're getting 850 horsepower out of a small block, naturally aspirated. So the compression has to be through the roof.
Yeah, and so the other thing too makes them accelerate so well is the reciprocating weights of everything. You know, the crankshafts are super light, the rods are super light, the whole valve train is titanium. So it's just, you know, they just spin real quick, real, you know, freely.
Yeah. And what kind of RPM do you guys run in those motors?
Well, we're limited, you know, by the rules at 8,600. So we have some engines that, you know, will go right to that, that you'll shift right at 8,600, and others that'll be a little more torque designed and you'll shift a little bit less, maybe 82, 83.
And you do that depending on where you're racing it?
The engine itself, to maximize the torque curve and the horsepower and also the tracks, yeah, we're limited to, you know, the gearing for a slower track or, you know, if the fastest track we visit is, you know, Daytona, and we're not supposed to tell anybody that, you know, we do go over a speed limit there that is the unspoken word that we're not supposed to at 200 miles an hour, but
we'll
go ahead and leak it.
Yeah.
This coming up at Fontana, the speeds have to be pretty high.
Yeah, I think we're geared Fontana somewhere right around 185, 186.
So that's going to be scooting in that car. And yeah, the you've never seen or you never maybe experienced a V8 that revved like as quickly as this V8 revs, which is it's weird for something in that configuration with that displacement to just be that quick.
Yeah.
On it. But that's experience, and that's why I think you have to do. Get some heat into the tires, I would recommend. And feather that throttle coming around. Now, later on, the tires start to kind of go away a little bit toward the end of the race. And then when you come around that horseshoe at Willow Springs and you're coming out of that, coming down that hill, as we're talking about down the hill, you can't jump back on it.
No.
It's just, it'll immediately start sliding all over
the place. That's where, like, ego conflicts with experience. You know, you got to really start to feel the car. Like Tom Cruise would have not.
It really gets fairly greasy at a certain point.
I've got a crazy Tom Cruise story.
Oh, let's hear one.
Well, I guess it started with you know, doing The Color of Money and you know, Newman and all that kind of stuff, and he wanted to pursue some road racing. So I'm at Hopeville Raceway, which is Mexicali, I mean, in the middle of nowhere. And sure enough, here comes this, you know, beautiful 53-foot split axle, huge Budweiser Planters Peanuts rig, and it's Cruise, you know, do a little regional race.
Later 80s?
Right after, I think, those movies. I don't know the exact timelines. Yeah, but it would be like late 80s or early 90s maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my goodness. Let's just say the talent level what was a little embarrassing to his team. So
I heard he was just like, I think it's like how he's wired, which is I am overly aggressive. But if you're overly aggressive, but the skill's not there in a car, it's you're gonna have a hard time.
Yeah, he had a heck of a time. I think there was 7 showroom A cars or so at that particular race, and let's say he was kind of in the back of those 7 showroom A cars, And I ended up spinning 2 or 3 times and just kind of got called in. He had a really tough weekend.
Well, let's talk about me in that case. Now, you must add some trepidation letting me, some comedian, drive your – how much is your car worth?
These things are going for about $300,000 replacement value.
A little trepidation maybe, perhaps.
A little bit, yeah.
We just kind of did it on a whim. I think Matt asked me – months in advance, like, hey, there's a Trans Am race and you can go up to Willow Springs, and I don't know Willow Springs very well or like it too much. I haven't driven there in a race, but I was like, oh yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be the top of the food chain Trans Am. I thought maybe I'd get lucky and I'd get into like an Audi R8 with like some paddle shifts
and like a little
traction
Mustang
control or
you
know, something,
kind of
something
stock.
Like that. I didn't know we were going to get in the big scary car. So what was your thought process?
Well, you know, I kind of followed you
and
seen, you know, that you had won some of the celebrity races and the pro celebrity stuff. And that's not easy to do, you know. Those street courses like Long Beach like that, you know, one little mistake and you know, you can damage those cars severely. So, you know, if you survived the Long Beach Grand Prix and won some of those races, I figured, you know, Willow, there's pretty, you know, it's kind of desert out there. There's not a whole lot to hit.
Yeah, that's true. So Claudio was, I think one of the first things he said was, do you got a radio in your helmet? And I said, no. But you could have included that in an email at some point along this way, because I never use one. And then I realized, I think you took the radio out of your helmet and you put it in my helmet, but then you can't hear anything when the race is going, right?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. If you don't have that working really well and, you know, like a really good set of earplugs that are molded, these cars are so loud, it's just you can't hear. And the gearbox is just even louder than the engine sometimes.
Yeah.
But during the one of the yellow flags, things would calm down, and then Claudio would just be yelling, catch up. Catch up, catch up, catch up to the pack, because I was just kind of cruising. I was doing the yellow flag. We're not racing anymore.
Yeah, you got to drive those yellows like Mario, you know, real hard catch up.
Yeah, no, it's true. The smart guys
got to Brody that thing.
Yeah, well, Adrian Brody would pass people.
Blow by everybody.
The yellow flag is don't pass people, but no, there's no rule about catching up to people.
Yeah, no speed limit on that yellow.
So. Right. So there's that one. Also, I've learned my lesson the hard way, too. There's the local yellow and the full course yellow. I've mistook the local for full course and had that problem before, too, where you just kind of get off it and it's only for that corner.
Yeah, that's something relatively new, too, you know, that sometimes corner stations like that, and then you don't have full course, so...
I would argue that somebody should clarify that a little bit, you know, like have a yellow with a stripe in it or something that says, because, you know, they say when you see the yellow, you know, get off it, and you do see the yellow and you get off it and then you come around the corner and you're sort of looking for the next flag station, like where what's happening. It's like, oh, there isn't. It's on. We're racing. But if they'd like you to bring it down a little, they should make a declaration between the full.
Well,
yellow
before we say there definitely isn't a definition, is there a different? How do you know?
You don't know. Just the next corner station is going to be displaying another yellow. So if it's not, then it's on.
But you don't.
Yeah, that's a weird way.
You don't necessarily know where the next. Yeah. I mean, you should know, but you don't always know. And then you're not really. You shouldn't be racing. They'd like you to stop racing momentarily. But what you should do is stop at that one corner and get right back on it until you see something else.
Right.
That's what they. That's
I mean,
what
that
they
second
want.
Station could use a green flag and say, "Well, you're good from this point on." But I don't think they're going
to
do that.
The first yellow needs to let you know it's local.
Yeah.
Not some or versus full course. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
He just waves the flag, does the L on his forehead.
Something.
Local.
Yeah, although that usually means something
else.
Yeah,
it means something else.
So, Claudio, Tommy was driving in the race I was in. Tommy won that race. The guy I was most interested in was the guy came in second in one of your cars. Mm. That guy, I love that guy. Was it Jim or John or something?
Wall?
Was
it Richard. Wall? Richard Wall.
Richard Wall?
Yeah, Richard Wall. Chris, I like to run this guy down. I mean, not run him down. I like to find out this guy.
Not in a harmful way.
He came out to do a vintage race. Yeah. He brought his Cobra, The car broke, and he was like, no good for the weekend. So he went walking around looking for another car to drive. And I guess he ran into your spare car.
Yeah. Some of my mechanics had just kind of hung out with some of his guys the day before, and it just when his car broke, it all came together last second. And you know, we had brought a spare car, just in case.
I guess now you just made the argument for bringing a spare car to every race.
You could sell a ride in the spare car seat. But I like the idea that the guy, you know, he was going racing that weekend by hook or by crook. And when his car broke, he found another car.
I'm going to show up with my car and a checkbook just in case. And
I love it.
One way or another, I'm going to race with one of these things.
Yeah. That was, like I said, I don't know. Now, how do you vet that guy? I mean, what do you do? Do you go, hey, what's your history, or what have you done?
That was just a total wild card, you know. We didn't then, as I knew, learned more about him. You know, he had raced Trans Am in like the 70s, so he had been racing, you know, on and off his whole life, and you know, turned out, you know, to do pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, he did great.
He did.
I actually want to talk to you about some of your background as well. You're a scientist.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. Mm. You know, everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. You can add, save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
So the science part, Claudio, let's talk about that.
All right. what do you want to know?
So you created Linex.
Yep. Years ago, living out here actually in Santa Ana, our family business was polyurethanes. And just wanted to come up with a polyurethane that had no environmental implications because of California and, you know, OSHA and everything out here constantly being on the edge of compliance on that kind of thing. And 100% reactive synthetic rubber is basically what it is. And nobody had really spray applied it and tied a name together with it with an application.
Was your intention to get, like, into the aftermarket world? How did the product,
no idea.
Like, you created the product first, and then you said, what are all the ways we can use this?
Exactly. So,
because we know it as, like, bed liner, but it's used everywhere. We've had Gail Banks come in. He's got it all over his house.
He's got it on his roof.
He's got it on the roof of his house. It's at the Pentagon, right? Isn't Linex?
Yes. That's probably our you know, kind of a whole lot of people don't know about it, but it's you know, our most important application ever. You know, when the Pentagon was hit in 9/11, the one wall where the plane hit was actually had been blast hardened and already had been secured. And we did 3 out of the 5 wedge renovation sections are sprayed with a similar product. It's not what was used for bed liner, but substantially stronger. And there's a lot of Kevlar webbing that went together with it. Very interesting installation in the Pentagon.
I was going to say, at some point you need a mesh or weave or something. And I think the new world order is flexibility. You know, the stuff has to absorb and then come back, not be rigid. You know, the thing about... You know, earthquake.
Cause like any crash zone in a car needs to absorb energy.
Yeah. They start figuring that out with those walls. I had the scientists on from, where was it? From Indiana State or something like that. He basically took those walls that went around the NASCAR tracks and made them into the barriers that took the energy.
Some sort of like
and
honeycomb
safety wall or whatever it is. And they went from, you know, X amount. I think it was something like they haven't had a death since Dale Earnhardt Jr. or since Dale Earnhardt. Ever since they started doing the absorbo wall. They just need something. Something's got to give when something else hits it other than the human.
Yeah, that's exactly right. On the walls, it had to do, you know, with masonry being just so brittle.
Right.
You have, like, you're hitting it exactly the point. It's just there's no elongation of any kind. So what happens is that, you know, the Pentagon, when it was built ahead of schedule and under budget. So
wow.
Imagine that. You know?
The only government project ever.
From the greatest generation ever. So then, you know, when we sprayed it, what it does is it kind of turns it into safety glass.
Yeah.
You know, we put an elastic coating that adheres so well that in the event of, you know, a lot of air pressure, which is typically a bomb blast of some type, the walls will not fragment. It's just the elasticity of the polymer bonds everything together.
The what I used to do earthquake rehab work out here, and I can just tell you that everything masonry just falls apart. You know, it's just brittle, and everything that's 2x4s with half-inch ply, shear wall nailed to it, doesn't go anywhere. It just it flexes, it moves, it does everything. But all the chimneys just fall down immediately. And the wood frame houses are fine because they just have that give and that flex versus the brittleness.
Yeah, we did a lot of tests leading up to it with the Air Force. So it wasn't something that we just, you know, went and did this installation. And then, you know, we had to compete against everybody. We were just a little itty-bitty company, but we were really ahead on this particular type of technology. So, you know, we competed against, you know, the Dow Chemicals of the world, you know, for this project. And, you know, we're awarded it through a subcontractor, which was called Masonry Arts, is who we worked with. And we put it in, like, from 8, 9 at night till, you know, 7, 8 in the morning. So it was kind of some tough work hours to do the installation.
You need that for the temperature?
They didn't want anybody to be around while we were doing it because the Pentagon was actually still being occupied. We were just spraying the exterior perimeter interior wall.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, big hoppers,
right, part A,
part B.
Yeah, 55-gallon barrels, you know, of liquids. You know, similar to, like, epoxies that you have the A and B one-to-one kind of mix. But this particular polymer is considered a polyurea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more suited for field applications where you can run into moisture and different issues that would you know, prevent some other types of urethanes from bonding. This stuff just does wonders over marginal surfaces.
So that's where – that was a family business, and it's always good to start off with a family business and then go racing, I found. I wish my dad had a family business.
Well,
Any business.
Well, you know, it started from not a whole lot. You know, my dad came to this country from Argentina with $7 in his pocket when he got to Miami. So, you know, it was a really good story.
Yeah, no, it's the American way, and we love that story, and that's why we hate everyone bitching about the haves and the have-nots. Go out and work a little, people.
Yeah.
Put in some weekends and some evenings. See if that doesn't change your
lot. Yeah, we put
bit.
A lot of those in. Weekends, evenings, all-nighters, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who's successful doesn't really have a work schedule. They just have work. And that work may happen. Almost everyone I know is successful. I will call them and say stuff like, hey, you want to do something Sunday night? Or whatever. They go, I got to work. And it's like, that's Sunday night.
Yeah.
And that's early and often with a lot of guys I know. So I wish the younger generation understood that. Had a little bit of an ethic like Claudio Burton Sr. did many years ago. What was your father's first name or
Carlos.
What is it? Carlos.
Carlos, yeah.
And Claudio. So what do you have in your car collection? I never asked. I don't know if you do. Do you have some stuff?
Yeah, I have a little business concept that I'm playing with in Georgia out there called Auto Playhouse, and I have about 30 different cars, but they're all just crazy eclectic Claudio cars, you know. Like, I have a Fiat collection that, like, kind of like you like Datsuns, I like Fiats.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got little 128 Fiats and X19s and 124 Turbo Spider that was built in San Diego by Legend Industries. One out of 1,100 cars or so.
The X19s, every once in a while, the people would put the big F1 snorkel up top on them because they're like a rear. Are you picturing an X19?
No. We're going to find it out.
Little wedge
picture,
shape.
You know, your Alfa Romeo?
Yeah.
Picture like that car, but even shittier. Like, okay. Even slower than your car. Like,
all right.
You guys could have a race.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
With
there
an X19. I don't know who would win in a drag race. Your Alfa... What is your Alfa? What year is that?
I'm a 91 Spider.
This is earlier.
The Alfa will get them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which one is.
It is like, chipped.
Yeah. I don't know what is a more gutless two-seater. The X19. I've been thinking about that, like a 1.3 with 90 horsepower.
That's
or something.
Exactly right. 1.3 up to 75, and then they got the whopping 1.5 after that.
Wow. I got a 2-liter, but I got the cool looking with the overhead cams.
Right. But still doesn't make any horsepower.
No,
but
it
all
doesn't
I'm
make
saying
any horsepower.
Is people
it's
take,
a momentum car.
They take those X19s, they put like a big snorkel, like the 70s F1 cars in the back to like get it back.
Do what you do. Two horsepower,
you know,
is two horsepower.
Believe it or not, that crazy little car in SECA, some guys turned those into what were Sea Sports racers with that snorkel you're talking about and like what was a Dallara body kit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put some, you know, 2-liter just, you know, high compression, full race engines. But they raced them in what was crazy enough, Sea Sports Racer, which was for prototypes.
Yeah, I there's no doubt the thing had the shape of something that you could get to go. and handle and brake and accelerate and all that kind of stuff. They just didn't when they showed up here. They did
It's funny because somebody was just sending me some message on social media, and he's like, I bought some vehicle, and he's got the 1 liter Ford engine, the new 1 liter Ford, and it's making like 120 something horsepower.
Yeah. Again, we can remember when the Honda 2000 had the 2 liter in it, and it had 240 horsepower, and it had the most horsepower per liter naturally aspirated. Then I think the Ferrari 360 came about with like a, I don't know, 3.6 or whatever the 360 is, and that thing was making 388 or something or whatever it is, and it just beat it by a little bit. But a $120 a liter is good damn.
You know, and that engine is only 1 liter. It's the size of a mini bike engine, basically, and it's making pretty good power.
That is good horsepower. All right. Oh, the 458 Italia was the one?
Yeah, that's the one that just beat out the S2000 in horsepower per liter record.
What about the 360 Stradale? See if that thing beat it out. I have a memory for that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right. Let me tell you about Susie Orman. She's got a podcast, Women and Money, and that's every Thursday on Podcast One. And you can check that out and give it a nice rate and review. I'm coming up in Cleveland, Agora Theater, and then Detroit Royal Oak Theater. That's May 17th and 18th. That'll be stand-up shows, Portland stand-up shows coming up. Burbank coming up on the 14th. Me and Kimmel going to be up on stage over there. I'll give you more details on that. The Moore Theater in Seattle, September 13th. That'll be a live podcast. Live shows everywhere and all the stuff coming up. Like we said, the MIDI and all that.
The
that
San Marino Motor Classic, June 10th out here. You're going to have a whole bunch of cars there.
Yeah, and let's have people come out to Fontana. What are we calling that raceway these days? Are we calling
Auto Club Speedway?
Auto Club Speedway. You can watch Tommy Dreese and Claudio Burton out there leading the pack, as I bet they will be. That's coming up. Well, I guess
right
the race will be right now, today. And
Sunday at 1.
Sunday at 1, and they'll be qualifying and all that good stuff. Tell Tommy to get a little heat in those tires before he gets on that.
yeah,
he gets on the right foot. So he slide around just a little bit.
Not in his head, though. Not heat in his head. Just in the tires.
That's like the rule at the house. Rule number one.
Right. Get a little heat in those tires.
Get some heat in those tires. Rule number one with these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tires are no good at the very beginning, and they're no good for about the last quarter of the race, as far as I could.
Well,
I
people don't realize too. On
you win it in the middle, Adam.
Yeah, that's right.
On those outlap, you know, is that, and especially with a new set, you know, you think, wow, I got sticker tires on, but that first lap, those things are literally on ice. You know, you've got the parting agent that the thing came out with. They do not
to get
work.
Out of the mold. Yeah,
right, to get it out of the mold.
Yeah,
people
they're not
don't realize
even,
that.
They're
yeah.
not even, it's not that they're not hot or not sticky, and they're not hot and they're not sticky, but there's a whole bunch of talcum powder and crap on them, too. So it's really a bad idea in that first, first lap to, and all I did was go, oh, I'm just going to flip the throttle a little bit coming up the thing, and
this only takes a little bit.
Lesson learned, everybody. I learned my lesson. All right. You can hit up Claudio if you like. The website, burtonracing.com, and find out where he's going to be. And you can also check out Go Share Co. as well if you like. And good guy, good team, good fun, good racing. And what else can we say? Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Claudio Burton and Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.